Well, we've been allowed to view Jesus' life as one full of grace and truth. Over these first five chapters in the book of John, most of the time he lived out grace and truth toward individuals, or at least small groups. But this morning in John chapter 6, we see Jesus living out grace and giving truth to a large group. A miracle commonly called the feeding of the 5,000, but most Bible scholars believe there was way more people than 5,000. Friends, it was 5,000 men. And as one of the ladies in our prayer group we had before the service said, hey, women and children got to eat too. And so they're estimated as many as possibly 20,000 people that Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed. This is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. And obviously there is much to teach us. And one of the things that it teaches us is that we may have on rare occasions, but we still may have an occasion to live out grace and to share truth with a multitude of people. Now, 5,000 or 20,000? Well, probably not. But 40, 50? Who knows? Most of the time, we live it out individually as we minister grace and truth to one another individually, or at least in small groups. But there are occasions where we, like Jesus, may have this opportunity to minister to a large group of people. And so we discover in this first 14 verses of John 6 how we can live out grace to a group. That's why we call it group grace, okay? First of all, group grace is begun by seeing a need. Notice verses 1 through 5. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Notice, Jesus lifted up his eyes, saw the multitude, but he didn't just see a multitude. He saw needs. Mark chapter 6 fills in some important details, especially Mark 6, verse 34. Same miracle, but Mark's account. Notice what he said. When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So the need this crowd had wasn't just the need for food. Jesus just didn't see them as hungry people. He saw them as leaderless people. People who are like sheep without a shepherd. Isaiah chapter 53 describes all of us that way, doesn't it? All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And so this crowd of people Jesus saw with this need of guidance, this need of instruction, as well as the need for food. Now, notice in Mark's account, chapter 6, verse 34, Seeing a need then arouses compassion. Jesus saw the crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's why, folks, on these TV commercials of abused and neglected animals, they show you the most miserable looking dogs and kitties. And I mean, these dogs, they're just a shaking. And what are they trying to do? Arouse your compassion. Because genuine compassion meets the need. It isn't just the hurt feeling in your heart or a warm, fuzzy feeling. It is putting that feeling into action. And Jesus had compassion, and that compassion compelled him to action. Now, this works with a crowd, as we see here, but it also works on a case-by-case individual basis. In Luke chapter 7, verse 13, it describes Jesus as being filled with compassion on an individual. When the Lord saw her, the her is the widow of Nain, whose only son had died. Now think about the situation this woman was in. She was a widow, therefore her husband was dead, and her only son had just died. And so when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Do not weep." And of course, what did he just then do? Stopped the funeral procession and raised the dead. His compassion compelled him into action. And that's what genuine compassion does. Think about it, folks. The needs of people move the heart of God. God is not somewhere out there in the great beyond in a place called heaven, looking at the problems and the difficulties and the heartaches on this earth and with an uncaring or unfeeling attitude. No, he is moved to compassion. And we see that as we look at the life of Jesus. This very miracle we're looking at, Mark chapter 6, verse 37, tells us how his compassion moved him to action. He answered his disciples, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii, which was a day's wage of that time, worth of bread, and give it to them to eat?" Jesus told the disciples, "Hey, do what needs to be done to meet the need." But it all starts by seeing a need. Secondly, group grace is challenged by stretching your faith. In verses 6 through 9 of John chapter 6, we see two challenges to faith that grace to a large group brings. First challenge is that of human reasoning. Look at verse 6. Jesus had just asked the question of his disciples, "Where are we to buy bread so these people may eat?" He said this to test him, speaking of Philip in particular, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread, would not be enough for each of them to get a little. When Jesus asked this question of Philip, Philip did this quick mental calculation. Well, that looks like about 20,000 total people out there. And, 10 denarii per thousand. Is that right? I'm trying to do my own. Philip was a whole lot quicker in his mental calculation than I am, okay? He did a whole lot more mental math than I did. It's 10 denarii for 2,000 people. And so he said, but that would just give them a little bit. And isn't that what we do when we're faced with situations? How can we plan or negotiate or whatever our way out of this? And the human reasoning takes the place of faith. But Jesus stretched their faith not only by challenging their human reasoning, but the second challenge to our faith is human resources. Verses 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." Boy, if it had just been a period right there, that would have been a great statement of faith, wouldn't it? Andrew would have said, "There's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, period." But he didn't. Comma. "But what are they among so many?" Human resources are always inadequate to meet the needs, not only of an individual, but especially of a group. But again, our fallback response, human reasoning, human resources. Hey, how about our fallback response being prayer, divine resources? When all else fails, pray? No, pray before all else fails. Tap in to God's power and God's resources. I'll never forget a story. Our beloved brother, Willie McAllister. Oh, man, I miss Willie so much. But Willie told me there was a tool he needed as he was working on a car. And he looked all over his shop to try to find this tool. And he could not find it in his shop, in his garage. So he went into the house and he was looking for it here and there and everywhere, and could not find that tool. And finally he said, "Lord, you're going to have to help me find that tool. I've looked everywhere and I can't find it." He said 5 minutes later, he sat down in the easy chair and he heard a thud. He lifted up the easy chair and looked under it. There was the tool. Had fallen out of his pocket. And then Willie said, "Why did I waste all that time looking? I should have done my praying first." I think we all can ask ourselves that question. So group grace is not only challenged by the stretching of our faith, but notice number 3, group grace is achieved by supernatural provision. Look at verses 10 through 14. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. In these verses, we discover how to share in the supernatural. Group grace is achieved by supernatural provision. How can we share in that supernatural? First of all, there's the principle of obedience. Friend, just like the old song says that we used to sing it, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But a lot of times, our truster isn't working too well. Our faith is weak, like the disciples. But what are they among so many? And so Jesus just commanded them, and they obeyed. You see, friend, when your faith is weak, and you also fail to obey, then you're really done for. Because obedience is the key to blessing, and your faith grows by virtue of your obeying him. So even though your faith is weak, friend, obey. And that will strengthen your faith. We got to give the disciples credit. They obeyed. And that brings the second principle of sharing in the supernatural. And that's the principle of service. This miracle, probably more so than any other miracle that Jesus performed, involved the disciples. Notice, first of all, they went out and searched for the little boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Secondly, according to Mark 6, verse 40, they had the people sit down in groups of 100 and in groups of 50. They were in charge of the organization for the distribution of the food. Then in Matthew 14, verse 19, the disciples were the ones who served the people, the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then, as we saw in our passage, the disciples collected the leftovers. Interesting, it said they collected them into 12 baskets. This is a diminutive form of the word basket, kind of like a knapsack. My personal opinion is that the disciples were so busy serving, think about it, 20,000 people, and there's just 10 of them. When are they going to eat? Well, Jesus provided the leftovers, 12 knapsacks for the 12 disciples that they could munch on their way. Now, that's my personal opinion. But notice, service is sharing in the work of God. When God calls you to a place of service, whether it's inside the doors of our church or outside the doors of our church, as you are doing that service, you are sharing in God's work. Wow. And this miracle is a beautiful example of Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Now, this is not how I view the inspiration of the Bible. Okay, folks? It's just kind of a nice little illustration to help us unpackage this verse. I kind of like to imagine the Apostle Paul writing this verse. Now to him who's able to do all that we ask or think. Well, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? But then Paul said, no, that's not good enough. So he erases that. Now to him who's able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think. No, that's still not good enough for God. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Hey, that tells the truth. And folks, that's the God we serve. Amen? Yeah. He is the one who is able. But then notice the last point of this miracle. First of all, seeing a need arouses compassion. Then your faith is stretched. And then God supernaturally provides. But notice, group grace is completed by spiritual truth taught. You see, folks, the grace shown to this group of people is not complete until the truth is taught. Look at verse 22 of John chapter 6. Now, this passage we're going to be looking at a couple weeks down the road, but just to give you a little preview, John 6, verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples. The next day. Now let's drop down to verse 32. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." What had he just done the day before? Multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And the next day, Jesus says, to drive home the spiritual truth that he illustrated the day before, "I am the bread of life." You see, folks, truth completes the grace that is extended. That's why on Give This Christmas Away, we inserted into the pockets of the coats and the hoodies a little booklet on John 3:16. We want it to be full of grace and truth. That's why Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes, have a gospel booklet that accompanies them, as well as those of us who gave an extra $9, which our entire church did in every one of our boxes, then provided discipleship materials to the children who received those boxes. That's why in our 2021 mission trip, Living in Grace and Truth, we're going to be going with Filter of Hope, where our newest missionary, Sean Sutherland, is serving. and doing those water purification systems. Remember his presentation a while back? And then proclaiming the truth about how Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You see, folks, group grace is completed when we follow it up and teach spiritual truth. So what have you learned this morning in this miracle? Well, hopefully, first of all, you've learned to be on the lookout for opportunities to extend God's grace, whether it's to an individual or to a group. Secondly, I hope you've learned to not allow your faith to be short-circuited by human reasoning or inadequate human resources. Thirdly, I hope you've learned that to obey God's call invites God's enablement. And finally, I hope we've learned that following up, showing God's grace comes by sharing, or comes with sharing God's grace. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you pour out your grace over and over and over again to individuals as well as groups of people. And Lord, I pray that we would be on the lookout for those who need to hear about your grace, those who need to see your grace in operation, and that we would be your vessel. We would share in the work of God in pouring out your grace upon this needy world. Lord, help us to be willing. And Lord, if we're not willing, help us to be willing to be made willing to be instruments of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.